So, when we look back at the history of technology, there are always these invisible inflection points,
Oh, absolutely.
like days where the sheer volume of announcements and earnings reports and, well, crises, they completely mask the fact that the underlying architecture of the internet just fundamentally changed.
Yeah, and May 24 in 2026 is definitely going to be studied as one of those exact inflection points. I mean, the industry didn't just experience a news cycle, it experienced a synchronized tectonic shift.
Across everything, right? Hardware, software supply chains, and even consumer reality interfaces.
Exactly. All at once.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We are working through the Tech and Morning 2026 AI and Tech Landscape Report, which attempted to document this absolute frenzy of a day.
And it was a frenzy.
Oh, totally. But our mission today isn't just to rattle off headlines. We want to connect the dots for you to show exactly how the foundation of the future is being built, who is trying to control it, and maybe most importantly, where the invisible cracks are already forming.
Right. And to understand the whole structure, you really have to start at the bedrock layer.
The hardware.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything happening in AI right now, every agent, every world model, it relies entirely on the silicon it runs on and the money required to secure that silicon.
Which brings us directly to NVIDIA's Q1 fiscal year 2027 earnings. And I mean, the raw numbers are just staggering on their own.
Unbelievable numbers.
Right. We're looking at a record revenue of $81.6 billion. That is up 85% year over year. And data center revenue made up $75.2 billion of that.
Yeah, but the real story isn't just the chips they're selling.
Right.
It's what they are doing with that massive pile of cash. What's fascinating here is their startup investment portfolio. It effectively doubled in a single quarter.
Wait, really? Just one quarter?
Yeah, they went from $22 billion in January to $43 billion by April. They deployed $18.5 billion into new purchases in just 3 months. They're bringing all this significant capacity online, specifically for Anthropic, too.
Okay, let's unpack this because that feels less like a traditional investment and more like a casino.
How do you mean?
Well, it's like a casino where the house stakes the players, but only if they agree to play exclusively at their tables, you know?
That is a highly accurate way to look at it, actually. They are executing a masterclass in vertical integration. They aren't just selling a component and walking away. They're taking equity in the startups that use their hardware.
So they're basically underwriting their own demand.
Exactly. They ensure these AI companies have the capital to buy their clusters, and they avoid Intel's massive mistake in the mobile era. They are making absolutely sure that CUDA remains the absolute undeniable standard.
But I got to push back here a bit because NVIDIA's Q2 guidance shows growth is actually decelerating. They're projecting 91 billion, which is a 12% sequential growth.
Down from 20% in Q1.
Right. So, with that slowdown, is this massive $43 billion portfolio a sign of strength, or are they desperately trying to buy their own customers before the AI bubble pops?
It's a calculated hedge. I mean, the major cloud providers have been hoarding compute capacity for 2 years. Now they have to prove they can generate actual software revenue from it. So a cool down is coming.
And NVIDIA sees it.
Oh, they definitely see it. If the broader market cools, NVIDIA has this lock-in ecosystem of captive startups. Their stacks are completely hard-coded to NVIDIA's architecture.
So it works perfectly for the Titans, the huge companies that can afford to build these massive data centers.
Right.
But what about the grassroots developers? I mean, an NVIDIA DGX Spark system is roughly $15,000. If you're a solo developer or just a small startup, you're entirely priced out.
And nature abhors a vacuum, especially in the hardware market,
Oh.
which is exactly the wedge AMD is exploiting.
Yeah, AMD chose this exact day to announce the Ryzen AI Halo PC, launching in June 2026 for $3,999.
Which is a massive undercut.
It's nearly 75% cheaper, and it's just this Mac mini size system, like 5.9 inches square. But the specs are wild. A 16-core Zen 5 CPU, 40CU RDNA 3.5 GPU, and the XDNA 2 NPU doing 50 TOPS.
All running on a highly efficient 120-watt TDP. But, the processor isn't even the most disruptive part.
It's the memory.
Exactly. The upcoming Max 400 series supports 192 gigabytes of unified memory. And for the listeners, this is a game changer because of how large language models actually operate.
Right, because the bottleneck is usually memory bandwidth, not just raw speed.
Precisely. Usually you have to move these massive multi-billion parameter models across a PCIe bus between the system RAM and the GPU, which creates intolerable latency. Unified memory fixes that.
So everything shares the same pool.
Yeah. It allows developers to load massive models entirely into memory locally. They don't have to compress them. They preserve privacy, and they avoid crazy cloud costs.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though. AMD drops the price tag by 75%. Awesome. But if all the AI frameworks are practically written in NVIDIA's language, does a cheaper machine even matter?
It's a fair point.
Isn't that like buying a highly advanced, really affordable car, but it only runs on a specific type of fuel that you just can't find anywhere?
That is the exact hurdle they face. NVIDIA still holds the software crown. CUDA and TensorT are the established legal systems of AI, basically.
Right.
AMD's alternative, ROCm, still really lags behind.
Mm-hmm.
For a researcher doing local testing, the AMD box is disruptive. But for massive distributed cluster training, developers are still going to default to NVIDIA because the tooling just works.
It saves them months of troubleshooting.
Exactly.
Well, whether you're building on NVIDIA's 15K machines or AMD's 4K boxes, every single developer relies on the same shared code repositories.
Yeah, the software supply chain.
And that foundation just suffered a catastrophic earthquake. Because GitHub, which is owned by Microsoft, was breached by a hacker group called Team PCP.
And LAP has joined in later, yeah.
Right, and they stole 3,800 internal repositories and listed them for sale. For 50K initially, then 95K. But the crazy part is how they got in.
It wasn't a firewall breach.
No, it was a single developer's device compromised via a poisoned Microsoft Visual Studio Code extension.
And this raises an important question about how we build software today. Because it's malware.
Mini-Shai-Hulud, they called it. Self-replicating.
Right, Mini-Shai-Hulud. It was downloaded, 417,000 times a month?
Yeah, massive numbers.
And the issue is that VS Code extensions run with elevated privileges. They can read environment variables, which is exactly where developers lazily store their cloud credentials and GitHub authentication tokens.
So this is basically like installing a cool new custom dashboard gadget in your car, but it secretly hands the keys over to a car thief.
That's exactly what happened. And if hackers have GitHub's internal blueprints, like Actions or Copilot, they can find 0 days to infect millions of downstream open source projects.
But I have to challenge this. Microsoft owns GitHub. And it was a Microsoft VS Code extension that got poisoned. How does one of the biggest tech companies on Earth leave their back door wide open like this?
It's the constant battle between zero trust security and developer friction. If Microsoft manually reviewed every single extension update, the ecosystem would stall completely.
So they rely on automated scanners?
Yeah, and the hackers weaponize that trust. They build a useful tool, get it trusted by the scanners, and then slip the credential scraping payload into a routine update later.
Wow. Well, Microsoft clearly felt the sting of this because with AI moving from just, you know, passive chat windows to these autonomous AI agents, the stakes are way higher.
Agents can actually take actions. They don't just crash. They can steal data or alter records.
Right, which prompted Microsoft to take radical action. They just open sourced two new tools, Rampart and Clarity.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the strategy here is brilliant. Rampart is a PyTest native framework that integrates right into CI/CD pipelines.
So it continuously runs automated tests on every code commit.
Exactly. It simulates prompt injection, data poisoning, model theft. And Clarity handles the design time security validation to catch flaws before the code is even written.
So what does this all mean? Microsoft is essentially giving away the security blueprints for free just to get everyone else to do their QA testing for them. Is this true open source ethos or just a really brilliant corporate shield?
It's absolutely a corporate shield, but a very smart one. By standardizing security on Azure and GitHub, they drastically reduce their own liability.
Yo, that makes sense.
Plus, they crowdsource bug fixes from the global community. Hackers find a new injection technique, and the community patches Rampart immediately.
And it boxes out the competition, right?
Completely. Google and Amazon don't have equivalent open source tools for AI agents. Microsoft outmaneuvered them by setting the industry standard.
Well, speaking of Google, while Microsoft is focusing heavily on that invisible developer backend, Google is fighting a massive war to control what you actually see and hear.
The consumer matrix.
Yeah, their Google I/O 2026 announcements were wild. They dropped Gemini 3.5 Flash, which has 4x faster output tokens. But the big one was Gemini Omni.
Right. They're calling it a world model.
Moving toward artificial general intelligence, or AGI.
And the distinction between a language model and a world model is profound. Omni natively processes text, images, audio, and video altogether. It doesn't translate video into text to understand it.
Right, so it intuitively understands real-world physics, like gravity or fluid dynamics.
Exactly. And a model that understands the physical world needs to be integrated into it. Which brings us to Android XR.
The smart glasses, built with Samsung and Qualcomm. And the frames are by Warby Parker, which is smart.
Trying to succeed where Google Glass failed.
By focusing on practical utility, live translation, contextual overlays. But this is where I just had to laugh. Right next to this omnipotent AI, they announced Android 17 Continue On.
Ah, yes. Yeah. The handoff feature.
Yeah. It lets you pass an app state between an Android phone and a tablet. Google releasing Continue On 12 years after Apple released. Handoff is like, I don't know, inventing the digital watch in 2026 and expecting a standing ovation.
It's definitely jarring.
You're building an everything engine that understands fluid dynamics, but you're just now catching up on basic tablet sync.
It looks funny, but there is a crucial difference. Apple's handoff is a closed ecosystem. Google's Continue On uses the Nearby Connections protocol, which is open source.
Okay, so it could theoretically connect to anything.
Right. Windows, IoT devices, maybe even iOS one day. Apple's walled garden would never do that. Google wants to cast the widest net possible.
Man, when you pull all this together for the listener, it is just a crazy picture.
It really is.
You've got NVIDIA building this massive financial moat around hardware, AMD trying to arm the grassroots developers with cheap, unified memory, hackers exploiting the code supply chain, Microsoft scrambling to build automated defenses.
And Google trying to put the resulting AI directly onto your face.
Exactly. So for everyone listening, remember the stakes here. Enable 2FA on your accounts. Seriously scrutinize your browser and code extensions. And just be wary of getting completely locked into one single ecosystem.
The lock-in is the real danger right now.
It is. Yeah. And I want to leave you with a brand new concept to mull over before we go. If NVIDIA owns the startups building the models, and Microsoft secures the agents running the models, and Google controls the glasses showing you the models,
controlled vertical stack.
Are we moving toward a future where we no longer really buy distinct tech products? Like, instead, we just subscribe to one of three reality ecosystems.
That's a terrifying thought.
Right. If the physical world and the digital world fully merge through AI and AR, who actually owns your reality?
Definitely something to think about.
Let that ponder in your mind until our next deep dive.